The brands we love most are those with big hearts, those who do what's right even when it's a difficult thing to do, those who help those around them even when it hurts the bottom line, and those who stand for something and drive change even in the face of adversity. These are the brands that make the world a better place to live, and their stories must be told. In this podcast, we share their stories in hope that others will be inspired to follow. Welcome to Brand Heart.
Hi, welcome to Brand Heart. I'm your host, Jeff Friedman, and today I'm joined by Sean O'Brien, the CEO of BSE. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Great. Well, before we begin, I just want to say congratulations on being named the Small Business of the Year for Organizational Culture by the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce. That's a huge award.
Thank you. Of all the awards to win, that's really the one you want. That's a team win. That takes everybody pulling in the right direction, and that we were recognized for that. I couldn't be more thrilled. Really happy.
Right. Well, it's definitely relevant to the conversation we're going to have today. But before we jump in on that, if you can just share a little bit about what is BSE, if you can share that for the listeners, that'd be great.
Sure, I'd be happy to. BSE is a little bit more than five decades old. We do civil engineering, planning, landscape architecture, environmental engineering, permitting, survey, and we also do specialty software through our affiliated company, Geonetics. And we do this work for public, private, transportation agencies, and energy clients. Our public clients are typically developers, but they could be any private client. Our public clients are municipalities, cities and towns. So we do a lot of work for cities and towns throughout the Northeast. Our transportation clients are like the MBTA and MassDOT, and our energy clients are our electrical clients around New England, like Eversource and National Grid. We serve these clients out of six offices, four in Massachusetts, one down in Glastonbury, Connecticut, and our newest office up in Manchester, New Hampshire. And what I really like about BSC, and one of the reasons I was happy to come to BSC, the purpose. We really have some great people and we do some great work. We design, permit, and survey the roads and bridges that bring our people together or bring people together. Do the same, design, permit, and survey for the electrical distribution systems that allow us to have energy for our lights and all of the things that we do. And lastly, we do the same for buildings, the ones we live in, the ones we work in, and the ones we learn in. So as an engineer, I always wanted to do something that was very purposeful and meaningful, and BSC's work is both. So I'm happy to be here, and pleased to be here with you, Jeff.
Very cool. Sounds like quite an operation. So people are in all different offices. So you're used to people being spread out at least all over Massachusetts.
Yeah, we are spread out. And, this whole COVID adventure that we're all on here and working remotely is, forced us obviously to change the way that we work, but we're responding well and still working together and still really able to, work with our clients and help them with their problems and their challenges, work for them on their projects.
Great. Well, I'm sure a lot of the success of that comes back from or stems from creating a great culture. And Sean, you've been there for what, a couple, two, 3 years now?
Yeah, I'll be 3 years in October. Yeah, about 2 years and 9 months.
And culture, it seems like when you come on board, culture was really the first thing that you really thought about, or was that definitely at the top of the list of things you needed to work on? Why was culture so important to you?
Well, I don't know if it evolved exactly that way. The first thing that I wanted to do or felt I needed to do was listen and learn. Coming in from the outside is always a challenge. And, I kind of promised myself that I was just going to listen for the first 90 days. And I think if we asked everybody internally, they'd say, well, you know, Sean, you're kind of a talker too. So I wasn't always listening, but I was listening. And I wanted to, the big thing that I was focused on initially was I had to seek first to understand.
Right.
I really had to understand the organization that I was being asked to lead. And, as a result of that, I set a number of priorities, and I wasn't necessarily out to change the culture per se, but I wanted to make sure that I was improving everybody's work experience to the extent that I could, because that's important.
Right. And so how do you go about, and so what were the challenges in improving people's work experience? What was the experience like before? And then what were the, some of the changes you did to make that better?
Well, as I got into things, you know, I began to learn that, you know, we had a structure that was in place, and the firm had been very successful for years and done quite well. But I also thought that there were some improvements that could be made. And specifically when I talked to folks, you know, there was a lot of the typical things that you would see in any organization. But suffice to say, we needed to get around a common goal. We needed to really better understand our purpose. So what happened, this actually came as a result of a story that I was at an event. It was a mass econ event. And I was listening to one of our clients receive an award. And, you know, as he received the award, he shared a little bit about himself in his story. And what he, you know, what he shared was why he showed up to work every day was because they were going to cure cancer. Okay. So that's a big thing. So I took that away from that. And I sat with it for a little while. And then a couple days later, I'm in the office and I'm surrounded by a group of colleagues. And I just commented, well, geez, you know, Tony was great. You know, that was so great to listen to him. And you talk about a guy that understands his why. And one of our younger engineers, I'll never forget this because it was pretty transformative. He said to me, he just like knee-jerk reaction says, well, it's too bad we can't have a why like that. Because on one day we might be, you know, inspecting a catch basin for a, you know, for compliance with an environmental permit, or another day I might be, you know, hold the rod for somebody on a survey crew, and another day I might be, you know, designing a, you know, a drainage plan for one of our clients. So we don't really have one why.
I have a feeling you challenged that.
No, I didn't. I exactly didn't. What I did instead was I bit my tongue as hard as I could because I so wanted to challenge it. And I just sat down with it and sat with it. And it took me, you know, it took me some time, but I finally came to the realization that we needed to evaluate our why. It wasn't that he didn't understand the why. It was that we didn't necessarily have a why that he was aware of. So what we did is we spent some time talking about it as a management team and the principals. And then we began to kind of explore our why. And people started to ask themselves, you know, well, why do I come to work? Why do I come to BSC? You know, why do I want to do this? And as they started to ask themselves the question, they, people realized that there was a lot of alignment around the answers. Now, we didn't necessarily get to a classic why statement, mm-hmm. like Simon Sinek would have you do.
Right.
But we got to like three of them, and they were all pretty close. So as soon as we started to have those conversations, what ended up also happening was people started to work together and, you know, challenge one another's ideas. And we began to have a more of a purpose. And one of those purposes was essentially to serve. And as soon as that clicked, that's when the culture began to kind of move more in the right direction, because people felt like they were in control of their own destiny, because they were. People understood the importance of purpose because they wanted to feel fulfilled, because that's important. So that's how that evolved. It wasn't me coming in one day and saying, hey, I'm the CEO, we're gonna change the culture. It was
right.
It was really a reaction to something that I heard in a moment and decided not to challenge it in that moment.
And so, I mean, so the culture stemmed from this idea of we need a purpose and then finding that. And to talk about what does it mean to serve?
To serve, it means being selfless and you know, serving others is just simply expending effort, giving time, to better others. And I think that's something that, I think it's why, you know, it's why I became an engineer. I'm sure it's why our scientists also became scientists. They wanted to, you know, improve the earth or the environment. You know, and I think that's why we go into, we went into, you know, engineering and environmental, you know, science consulting, is to essentially help or serve others so that they may achieve their endeavors.
Great. So serving others to achieve their endeavors and to better themselves. And so what else have you done? So you discovered that purpose. And how has that kind of found itself in the organization itself? What other things have changed to kind of live by that?
Well, you know, it's, you know, organizations are complicated and, you know, they're not singular or of one mind. So the other challenge that we had was simply change, you know, because change can be hard. And, you know, I think that there were probably some people that might not have liked the change because there were some organizational changes that were made. We were trying to push responsibility deeper and more broadly throughout the organization to empower more people. And we have. And I think that is a good thing. But you know, some people may not agree with that approach. So we had to get through, you know, some of that. We had to go through some of the growing pains that you go through when you're aligning the organization or you're trying to get it into the right structure that it needs to be in to empower more people.
Right. Well, the other thing is, you know, you mentioned when you went to the organization, you spent the first 90 days listening, some talking, yeah. but mostly listening. And it sounds as though that's also become part of the culture, which is let's listen and let's understand one another and our clients. And that's part of serving. So how is that kind of mentality, that belief of the importance of understanding and listening weaved its way into BSC since you've been there?
Well, I hope that it has. And I know for me, I definitely try to every day. You know, sometimes we'll have conversations and people just expect that, you know, there's going to be an answer at the end of the conversation. And I'll say, well, you know, we need to listen. Or one of the things I need to do is I have to really look in the mirror a lot to make sure that I'm listening. And then I also have to make sure that the people that are around me don't feel nervous about telling me that I need to listen to something.
Right.
So that's, you know, it's a work in progress for me and everyone else. But I think what we did is we raised the awareness of the importance of listening so that we really can understand one another's viewpoints and one another's goals and one another's perspectives.
Right.
Because, you know, with that understanding, you can be a whole lot more effective. And by effective, I mean, you know, you're showing empathy, you're showing caring, you're showing a lot of the things that are important to all of us.
Right. Well, I mean, if it goes back to you're serving others to help them improve and get better, you really can't do that until you really understand what do they want to get better and what's not working and understanding all that. And, you know, Sean, I know we spoke earlier and it's not just at a large level across the organization, this culture of understanding and listening, but I know you've also taken a lot of time and effort, you and your team, to create these ERGs, the employee resource groups, and creating a culture where people are comfortable listening and understanding and being heard. Can you share a little bit about how you went about putting together all the ERGs?
All right. Well, first off, I didn't do that. That was really the Diversity and Inclusion Committee. I was helpful in creating that committee, but it's really the leaders of that committee that really made all that happen as far as the ERGs went. But the importance of the culture and the importance of diversity and inclusion being a huge part of that culture, you know, it's right at the foundation of not only BSC, but really of everything. So in order for BSC to be the best organization that it can be, it needs to understand the perspective of others and not just me or not just people that look like me or have similar backgrounds to me. If we're really going to serve the communities that we live in and work in, and we're going to serve them well, we have to understand the perspectives of all. So we need to have diversity of experience. We need to have diversity of perspective, and we need to have diversity of opinion. And the way you get that is by having diversity of gender and diversity of, you know, color, black, brown, white, diversity of sexual orientation. You know, we all come at things from a different perspective, but we all have to be included and be heard and be considered if we're really going to get answers that are going to work for everybody.
Right. So while, you know, it's funny, as I ask you, you're giving a lot of credit to everybody else, and it's, I'm sure it is well-deserved, but there's also the leader who drives a lot of that. And, you know, I'm taking notes as we talk, and it feels like, you know, changing the culture takes a lot of listening and understanding, not just by the leader, but by everyone there. It requires team and empowerment. And it sounds like you've really taken the effort to empower others to make these changes. You know, I think at some level, it's also being clear on what's right and what's expected of people. And like you said, making those changes, and as difficult as they are, you need to make some tough decisions that not everybody agrees with, to change that culture. So am I missing something there? It's kind of what I'm hearing as we talk, that those are some of the keys to creating a culture.
Yeah. So, I mean, the keys to create the culture is really to empower staff, because it really, if I'm a servant leader, I've got to empower, I have to work for everybody else. And I do. You know, my job is to work for every single one of our staff. And I do that proudly. And I love it.
It goes right back to serving others to make them better, right?
Right. But, you know, because leaders are everywhere in the organization, and they're at all levels in the organization. It's really just, and that's just the truth. And as soon as you embrace that and get and support people, you're going to see the organization is just going to do amazing things. You get to encourage people to really harness their passion. And get them to participate and want to participate and support the participation. You're right though, you do have to be clear on what is right and what is expected. You need to celebrate and reward the desired behaviors, and don't tolerate the undesired behaviors, and don't reward them, and, and don't ignore them, because they'll get in the way. And if you can, and I know it's hard, you have to try to deal with them quickly.
Yeah, that's a challenge.
And that's, you know, that is always a challenge, and things can't always happen quickly, but you always have to deal with them with compassion too. Give everybody a shot and just say, hey, you know, we're going this way.
Right.
Come with us, you know, and if you don't want to come with us, then you just respectfully say, okay, then, you know, we're not aligned in the way that we're going to see things, you know, there's, and part.
Right. And it's better for everyone than that happens.
It really
is. Who wants to be on the wrong bus?
No. And then another big part of it though is communicating. So like I said, is that seeking first to understand, and then don't be afraid to have the candid conversations. You know, and you have to really try to listen with a willingness to have your own mind changed. You know, one of our leaders of the Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Lori Chicoin, does a fantastic job. About a year ago, she was talking to me about these ERGs, and, you know, we had a young members group, and, you know, that wanted to start their thing. And I was like, I didn't know if it goes inside a diversity and inclusion, or if it goes right out or whatever. Well, she was certain that it was, you know, an employee resource group. Well, she knew better than I did then, but I didn't know the answer to that. You know, fast forward, you know, 9 months later, probably not fast enough for Lori, or the young members committee, but you know, they're going to be, you know, they have just started an ERG under diversity and inclusion. And why was that possible? Well, it was possible because now the organization better understands ERGs. Now I understand BRGs,
right.
And now people better understand how it all can work. So when the young members came and, you know, with their passion of wanting to have an organization or an element of the organization that was there to support them and could help them learn about the organization and the AE industry, they saw that they fit there. So it became very easy. But, you know, 9 months ago, I really, to be honest with you, I wouldn't know.
Right. We're learning every day.
We are learning every day around us.
So I'm curious. So, you know, it feels like you've built this culture, and I'm sure it continues to get stronger and better. You know, but 3 months ago when COVID hit, give or take 3 months ago, it kind of dispersed everybody. Everyone's working from home. You know, going back 2-3 weeks ago to the horrific murder of George Floyd and everything that's happened since then, how has culture gotten you through that and kept people together? And I'm curious to know how culture has just, how it's found itself in these times, and what the benefits are of it, how it's really benefited you.
So it's a complex answer. All these things always are. So when COVID-19 hit and people started to realize the potential enormity of the problem, and we were asked to work remotely, and there was going to be disruption, and people were afraid because people were getting sick. My attention, and I think everybody's attention, well, my attention definitely turned to protecting life and protecting livelihood.
Wow.
Those are the two things that matter.
Right.
Okay. On day one, that's what you got to look at. The other things become subordinate to that. So we had to do everything that we could to make sure that we were keeping our staff safe. And we had to make sure that our staff understood that we wanted them to be safe, and we wanted them to feel safe as well. So we focused on that. And then we also had a responsibility, not only to, you know, our firm and all of our staff, but all of our clients as well, is we had to focus on the livelihood of the firm. So that means that we had to make sure that we were doing whatever we could to help our firm survive this for as long as possible. We didn't know how deep the effects were going to be on the economy or to BSC, and we didn't know how long. And we still don't candidly know how long yet, because it's still too early. But we had to make sure that we were doing what we could for those two purposes. Coincidentally, we were just in the throes of kicking off, or had just kicked off successfully, D&I. And, you know, somebody, it was Lori, she asked me, she goes, well, you know, this whole COVID thing is, you know, a lot of this D&I stuff might have to go on the back burner. Right. And I said, absolutely not. It can't go on the back burner now, because there's no better time, because we are all soon going to feel like, or know what it feels like to be isolated. We're going to know what it feels like not to be included.
Right.
And, you know, therefore the benefits of D&I are going to be something that this firm needs. And I mean, I was right, but I didn't know how right I was. And that's not on me. That's really on the whole D&I committee and all of the ERGs, because they provided a place for people with like concerns to share ideas, to share conversations, to listen to one another.
Right.
So it ended up being pretty powerful.
Yeah, when you think about it, everybody's now home alone, or with their families, meaning alone without their colleagues. And the idea of inclusion and diversity of voices, of opinions, of, you know, like as you said, race, gender, ethnicity, et cetera, has never been more important. And I think the whole COVID-19 thing just kind of elevates that to an entirely new level. So it's really interesting.
It is. And the other thing that the COVID-19 thing did is it gave us, everybody was shaken. You know, everybody was kind of rattled a little bit, but it gave us, you know, a common thing to look at and say, you know, that's our enemy. And it was COVID-19. So what it also ended up doing is internal to the organization, and then also between us and our clients and, you know, candidly, just about everybody, neighbors, everything, people are extending a lot more understanding and having a lot more grace. You know, that was a word that was thrown around at our firm, is people were extending a lot more grace. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. We need to remember that is happening now, and make sure that becomes part of our culture going forward.
Extending grace.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool.
And people end up being in a better mood too. you know, people enjoy making others, you know, happy. So extending grace is probably one of the easier ways you can do it.
Well, I mean, it goes back to where we started this whole conversation, where it wasn't even about culture. It was about making people feel better about work and enjoying work and having a better work experience. And the way you do that isn't by necessarily just getting better jobs and making more money. I mean, that actually hasn't even been mentioned on this call. It sounds like it's about being in a place where you're listened to and understood, where you're empowered, where you're have a clear purpose of where you want to be and where you're going. And by the way, if you don't agree with that purpose, as you said, get off the bus.
I try not to say that.
Well, I guess I say get off the bus and I'm putting words in your mouth, but but it's clear. I mean, people need to know where they're going, and if they don't want to go there, they shouldn't be there. And that's what makes the work experience better, no matter where you are, whether you're working in an office or you work from home. And it feels like you've really created that at BSC. So
we're working hard to create it. And you also said something that I think was spot on. You said we hadn't talked about money, and we don't. I mean, believe me, when we run our management committee meetings, you know, we talk about all of the metrics and everything. But we also always remind people that those are outcomes.
Right.
And that the outcomes of doing the right things and doing them the right way. And that's what it is. So, you know, your profit at the end of the day ends up being an outcome of deciding what markets to be in, having a good plan, executing that plan, and behaving well. The focus really needs to be on all of the upstream, not necessarily the metrics. If you look at the metrics and your metric isn't right, then, you know, we try to focus on the things that are upstream. You know, are we in the right markets? Are we treating the client the right way? Do we have the right service mix? Is the way we deliver the right way? Are we organized the right way?
And all goes back to serving people to make them better. Right. I mean, if you do that well, everything else should fall into place.
Yeah. I get laughed at, I think, at this point, because I've said it so many times. There's three things I say to myself every day. And I've been saying it for years because it's just served me well. And I just want to be part of a team. I want to serve clients, which means help our clients achieve their goals. And I want to create opportunities for others. And in my mind, that's my service, you know, oriented or servant leadership model.
Right. Well, it sounds like it's working. So congratulations on the award. Congratulations on where you've taken BSC in the last 2 or 3 years. And I'm sure there's a lot more success to come there. So before we close out, Sean, any other advice you'd give to the listeners?
Well, I just want to thank you for having, you know, for asking for this opportunity, you know, giving me the opportunity to speak. And you know, my advice to anybody else is really to just listen. And that doesn't mean listen to me. That means listen to everybody. And, you know, enjoy it and, you know, and serve. I think the whole service element of things is just an important element of, I think it's the most important part. I think if you serve, you can feel fulfilled. You will feel fulfilled. And you'll create a culture in which others can feel fulfilled.
Right. So it really comes down to listen, understand, and serve. And if you're a leader, empower others to do just that.
Exactly right.
Cool. Well, Sean, again, thank you so much for being on the show. If the listeners want to learn more about BSC, how can they find you?
Well, we're on the web. For sure. So they can go to our webpage, which is www.bscgroup.com.
Okay, great. Excellent. All right. Well, it was great to speak with you. Have a great day. Keep up the success. And I'm looking forward to talking again soon.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Brand Heart. We hope that today's episode inspired you to spread goodness and help those in need. If you know of a brand going above and beyond to help others, please share it with us via Twitter at @ShowBrandHeart. Brand Heart is a production of Small Army, a Finn Partners company. To learn more, visit smallarmy.net or finnpartners.com.